This program is brought to you by Babaway Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Welcome to Shepherding Our Hearts with Addie.
And Tina Shepherd.
She's making fun of me because I'm already acting crazy.
It's fine. We just had to cover several times where we were reading from.
I forgot the book.
She was like...
Sometimes you forget the chapter. Yeah.
She's like, I forgot what chapter you said. And I said, oh, 13. And she was like, I mean, book. I'm like, oh.
I actually knew what chapter and I knew the verses. I did not know a book. I don't know that you ever said it. I think you just said chapter 13.
No, I think I... I mean, okay, we weren't recording, so you really don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It's
and
fine.
And then I thought she meant we were reading 33 verses, and I was like, wow, that's a lot. But it, she meant there's 33 verses in the chapter.
We're going to start in verse 25, so
it's actually
not
eight
verses.
Yeah, that's okay.
Maybe nine, because you include the one that you're starting with.
Oh, yeah, because you do read it.
Yeah, so anyway, it's going to be great. It was just a little bit of a struggle, but, you know, we have a lot of grace for each other right now because...
It is getting real.
Crunch time, yes.
It is starting to hit me that it's actually happening. I think it might be the massive stack of boxes that is devouring a whole wall of my bedroom.
We're kind of closed in right now because there literally are boxes all over the place in here. So if you hear a loud collapsing...
It's an avalanche.
Yeah, we may need help.
You might want to call somebody.
It's going to be great. But there are definitely, someone asked me, we're having people over Friday for dinner, and they asked, hey, what's the plan for dinner, and what do you want me to bring? And I was like, you know, I've got so many plans going on in my brain right now that when my family's like, hey, what's for dinner tonight, my head kind of explodes a little bit, and I'm like, oh, yes.
Right, we have to live until the wedding.
People need to eat tonight. Like, it can't just be all about the rehearsal dinner and the reception and the, like, and really, like, we've done a good job, I think, of planning all along, but there's just a lot of things that can only be done last minute.
Somebody asked me yesterday, 2 days ago, if I was stressed, and I was like, yeah, a little bit, and they were like, I think she said you have most of the wedding planned. Yeah, planned here mentally. I was like, and also, honestly, it's not even the wedding that's stressful. It's I have to like have everything ready for the wedding. Yes, but I'm like, I'm also moving, and this is my last week of work, and I realized that typically probably your last week shouldn't be stressful because you're about done. So it's just, but it is for me because I have a nanny and he's transitioning to a lot of new things. I'm trying to make sure that that goes smoothly for everyone. So I'm kind of trying to make sure everything gets done there before I leave by the end of this week. And I was like washing car seat covers, like a lot of stuff that doesn't typically go into my job is happening this week. And so, and I'm sad because I like him. I'm gonna miss him. But, so there's just kind of a lot going on. I was like, literally nothing in my life is going to be the same after this, like, not even a little bit. So I was like, well, yeah, I'm a little stressed, but it's not the wedding.
Yeah, and it's...
It's everything but that.
It's like, what, 16 days?
It is 16 days from today.
Yes, so actually, when we're recording. So by the time this comes out, it'll be 15 days.
After 4, so it's 15.
Yeah. So when it hit less than 20, that's when I kind of was like, oh, okay, here we are. Like, now it's real.
See, and I always thought I thought for the longest time it was going to be like Christmas, you know? Like, Christmas Eve night is the longest night ever when you're a kid. It just takes so long to actually finish the night and be morning. I kind of figured that's where we'd be at, you know, like, oh, well, we're at less than 20 days now, so now it's going to slow down. Because, obviously, we've been counting down from, like, 300 or something. That's an exaggeration, because I think it was only 150, 200. It was more than 150. It was, like, 200.
But it was, like, 7 months.
Yeah, it was 7 months. So I was like, you know, it's going to feel like it's going to take forever, right, when you hit 20. It does not do that. I don't think it slowed down at all. In fact, it might have sped up. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of little things to get done. But I think every day, like, we're doing a really good job of checking things off the list.
I think so, too. And I know we're going to be more productive when I don't have a job, too, because I won't have a job, so I'll be here a lot more than I am.
Which is good, because we got to get out to camp and get it ready. The funny thing is, Oh, the funny thing is when suddenly you're thinking, oh, I know. I was like, when you're thinking of something and then you're like, oh, let me lead into that. And then it was completely gone.
I don't even know where it's at.
But I was thinking, like, you know, with Andrew, my oldest son got married in October, and they bought a house that they closed on 1 week before the wedding. And so there was, like, that week, it wasn't, like, crazy because of the wedding. It was a little bit of that, but mostly it was crazy because of them, like, trying to move into this house. So, like, I was going over, like, we were steam cleaning and, like, scrubbing everything and, like, all of the time and helping him move and helping Ariel, like, all of those kinds of things. And I was like, we won't have to worry about any of that with Addy because Kian already has a house. And so, and he's had it for...
Do we have a house? Yes. Do we have a bedroom? No. No, we don't.
So I was like, we can like take our time moving stuff in over there, all that. So that
We are.
And so every time we go over, we take a load of stuff. But he is redoing the bedroom, which is good because it was literally like a cave at the back of the house.
It was about to fall apart, actually, is what we learned while taking it apart to redo it. We then learned a windy day could have finished
them off. No, because yeah, the roof was not supported well. So
it actually wasn't supported.
And the ceiling was barely supported. It wasn't connected at all, is what we found out during the demo. But
it was like, you know, when kids build a block tower and you just hope nothing runs into it or it's gonna fall over. It was a lot like that.
Kind of like Lincoln Log style. So he's vaulting the ceiling. It's like a whole, I mean, it's like amazing, the transformation. But Addy and I have learned a lot about mudding and taping. And so we, Kian also, but.
But it's more impressive that we did it.
Like he wants to do this kind of stuff. Like, he's a hands-on kind of a guy when it comes to that.
I thought it was fun.
It was fun, except for the sanding was kind of a lot, but.
Yeah.
It was much better once I changed the sandpaper. I don't know why I didn't do that earlier, but anyway.
Your sandpaper was, like, smooth. I don't know what you thought was happening.
Anyway, so, yes, besides wedding stuff, we have been working construction on the side. So, it's our little side hustle. So, wedding planning and construction work. So, but it's come a long way, and
I think it's beautiful.
We're still hoping to just get it, like, you know, painted and all that before... The wedding.
Yeah, so we have a place to sleep.
When you get back from your honeymoon.
Get back from our Florida vacation.
So cool. So cool. But anyway, so this is not less stressful than trying to move someone into a new house.
Is it better to have to clean everything deep within a week, or is it better to have to do a ton of construction for a couple weeks before the wedding?
For me, probably more stressful to do the construction only because it's something I'm unfamiliar with. I'm pretty familiar with cleaning. And like they inherited a refrigerator. Then we probably need to move on because no one really cares about all this. But like the refrigerator they inherited had a funny smell. And so I literally like took the whole refrigerator apart and like dissected it all to get it all clean. But like I'm familiar with cleaning that type of stuff because of camp. So for me, that's just, you know, par for the course. I know what I'm doing there. But drywall, it's a whole new ball game. So
true.
It was fun. Like, we had a great time. But there is more of that to come this week. And then, next week we got to hit camp.
Yes.
Give it a once over. Are we ready to actually jump into our topic?
Go.
Sorry about all that. We will jump into our actual lesson now. I know you all don't really need all of the background of our lives, but it's kind of a therapy for us to talk it all through on the podcast. So thanks for listening. You really help us out.
Anyways, that's okay. You guys just get to watch our relationship too. And I think that's a podcast in and of itself. Maybe we should do that as a podcast sometime.
What would we talk about, though?
What we've learned from our relationship.
Ooh, I like that. Maybe that should be next week's. Ooh, wait. Hold on. I think we have a special topic next week.
You tell me that?
I'll have to look at the dates on that.
Okay. Anyways, let's jump in now that, you know, it's been a long time. In 2 weeks, we'll do that. Yes. We'll write that down. Yes. I'll write that down while you introduce our topic.
So we're going to talk today about Joshua and Caleb and them versus kind of the 10 other spies that went in to spy out the promised land. So we are in Numbers chapter 13, and she's going to read verses 25 through 33.
She will do that in just a second. Okay, she will do that now. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong, that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelt by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up to him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we in our own sights were as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So, I just read some of the next chapter, and I think maybe we should read it too.
Okay. Did you want to read, like, starting in verse 6? Or do you want to read the congregation, like, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night? And then if you drop down to verse 6 is where Joshua speaks up.
Yeah, verse 6 through like 10, okay. I think. Yeah, 6 through 10. And of Numbers chapter 14, did we say the book?
Yeah, we did. I did.
I don't think that the word Numbers has any sound to me.
Apparently not, you
know,
yeah.
Like... Ow, my head. Anyways, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, but the Lord is with us, fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with the stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel.
Okay, I'm glad you read that part.
So I guess that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, was that specific part. I'll let you summarize first, but...
Oh, well, I mean, I think it kind of speaks for itself, but it does. Basically, the 12 spies go into the land. They're actually in there for 40 days, and when they come back out to go and make a report, of course, the 10 spies were like, "Oh, no, we can't." Like, yes, the land is flowing.
The milk is great.
The land is flowing with milk and honey. It's a fantastic place. But the people that are inhabited there, like, we can't do it. Like, we're not strong enough. They're like giants. We're like grasshoppers. And so they had a fear of the people. But then Caleb speaks up and says, "You know what? God is giving us this land. Like, let's go up now and take it. Like, he's prepared it for us." And then, of course, the people all that night were upset and in turmoil and crying and weeping. And the next day, Joshua, the son of Nun, spoke up again and said, "You know what? Like, let's go and take this land. Like, if God is going to delight in us, he will give us this land." So they had that confidence in God. And then, of course, we know that the people wanted to stone them with stones. Joshua and Caleb, they did not like what they were saying.
Yeah. You know, that's what I try to do with people when I don't like what they're saying.
Yeah, you're
I'm just like, let's just throw big rocks at them. I just can't do this anymore. I'm just totally kidding. Anyways, so what kind of sticks out to me in this, I realize it's not really what we were going for when we picked out this topic, but what keeps making me think of is our relationship with God, or Joshua and Caleb's relationship with God, and how it can also relate to us and our friends, you know? Not that our friends are like God, but that, you know, like, we should have that same, it's a comparison. Let me just tell you what I'm thinking before I dig myself a hole. Basically, it's just that, you know, God had given them so much over and over and over, and he gave them so many reasons to trust him, but the people were so quick to turn their backs on God. But Joshua and Caleb were like, no, like, you know that we can trust God. And they stood by God, even though everybody else was speaking against him. And I just think that that's the kind of friends we need to strive to be to other people and to God, too. Obviously, if somebody's doing that, then you can always, if somebody's like having a midlife crisis and they're like, God's against me, you can obviously be like, he's not, you're being a little dramatic. But like, also within your physical life, it happens with friends all the time. And so to be the person that sticks up for somebody else and is like, hey.
Like, this friend has always had your back. Yeah. Like, why would you doubt them now?
Yes.
That kind of, I see where you're going with that. Okay. I like that. I like that I'm take glad. On it, because we are quick sometimes to just doubt people's, faithfulness to us, yes. You know, like that friendship. If they have a record of always being there for you, then why are you going to doubt them? And that's, of course, what all of the, you know, Israelites were so quick to turn their back on God over and over. And we see, like, they had just left Egypt. Like, he had provided a way. He just
pulled them out of slavery.
Like, through the Red Sea, through, like, all of these things. And yet, immediately, as when something, you know, like, difficult is in their way, they're like, that's it. Now we're just doomed. We can't do it. And then you see, like, you know, if you go on and read the rest of what happens with this generation of people as they're going through the wilderness over and over and over, they're like, oh, that's it. Like, God just meant for us to die here in the wilderness. Die
now, right here.
So they're kind of weak-minded. Yeah. But the 10 spies are the same way.
I think so, too. But yeah, I just thought that was something that's something I immediately thought of when you said this lesson. And I just think it's so important to be that friend who sees the good in other people always first, mm-hmm. as opposed to being like, well, they did blah, blah, blah. Like, there's always two sides to every story. There's no need to jump to conclusions ever. So that was my little brain thought.
I like that. Thank you. It's a different direction than I was thinking, which is kind of cool.
I know, because you said that and I was like, okay. And then we were sitting here, and I was reading it, and I was like, that's not what I'm going to do.
I love it. No, because it's good, because my point still stands as well.
My point still stands. Our points are not contradictory.
They're not at all. No, it's just that...
You're just different.
Anyway.
Just listen to her point, and you'll know what we mean.
If I can ever get there. I just keep thinking of other things. But my point was just the idea that Joshua and Caleb had to stand against the other 10. So it was just two of them. And, of course, you know, you see that the Israelites were very quick to listen to those 10, but Joshua and Caleb were not fearful to stand up and say, no, like, let's go take this land. Like, God has given it to us, and we need to do it. And I think sometimes we find it really, really hard to stand up against our friends. And obviously, we don't know that they were friends, but like, they spent 40 days together, like, searching out the land and all of these
Surely
other things.
They
like,
enemies.
They're frenemies. They became that. But even if it wasn't a friendship, like, it was still their, what would you call it? Like,
comrades?
A cohort, comrade, whatever. Their
teammate.
Peer group, teammate. But they had to take a stand. And I know that that's something that I had a really hard time with when I was younger. And I mean, even still today, I have to like remind myself because I do get nervous. I want people to like me. And so it's really...
it's like... Sorry.
I know what you're thinking. But it's hard sometimes because you're like, I want to be liked. So you don't want to go against those around you. But it's important to be able to stand up for what's right. And I was thinking, it really struck me one time. We were having a a class one time, and I don't remember what our actual topic was, but I read Revelation 21:8. It was, we were just like going around the room, and it was my turn to read. It was a lady's like Bible study in the evening. Revelation 21:8. This is one we sing a little song about liars, you know. But as I was reading this verse out loud, it struck me. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And as I was reading that, I literally teared up, and I was like getting emotional about this silly verse, you know, and I guess it's not really silly, I'm talking about fire and brimstone. But what struck me that time when I was reading it was fearful. And I was like, that's me. Like, I am fearful of what people think of me to the point that sometimes I won't say what needs to be said. And so it really, I guess, convicted me at that moment when I was reading it. Because I'm like,
pricked in the heart.
I was pricked in the heart. I'm like, it doesn't matter if I'm afraid. Like, the fearful there, those who are too afraid to stand up and speak the truth in love. Like, you know, obviously we need to still do it the right way. And with an attitude of love, but you and I need to be able to speak up and stand against our friends when our friends are going against God. Like it.
Because that, no friendship is more important than that.
And that can be really hard.
It is, because your friends are here and you can see them.
And yeah, I know that I want to be liked, but that's not an uncommon thing. Like, we all want to be liked.
Yeah, it's true. I think it gets easier the less liked you are.
I mean, you do get to a point sometimes where you're like, well, you know what?
Nobody likes me anyways, so...
Might as well speak the truth. But really, I think just with perspective, it gets easier because...
I think that's what it is. I don't think it is. Less people like you. It's just that you gain perspective and you're like, hey, that was more important. I see it now.
And I think every time you do it, even in the small things, it makes it easier it the does. Next time because it grows your strength.
Absolutely.
So, and your trust. So.
Absolutely.
That's it. That was our...
Well, I have one more funny story to tell.
I love it.
It's very quick. But one year, last year, for VBS, there were 12 kids in our class. And by kids, I mean teenagers because we're pretty much all young adults, but we're just hovering in the high school class. But there were 12 of us in there, and so we each picked a spy, and me and Taylor were Caleb and Joshua, and so then all the kids sat there, and me and Taylor read the verses at the same time, like, in unison, and then when they got to the part where they were stoning us, all the teenagers threw crayons at us.
Oh.
It was really funny. It was a great time. That was fantastic, BBS.
I thought you were gonna say you wadded up, like, they wadded up paper and threw...
No, we just had crayons.
Yeah.
So... I don't think anyone hit us. It was all in good fun. We didn't actually get stoned, but it was probably the most memorable class I've ever been a part of because it was very interactive. Anyways, that's all I had. I had to get that off my chest.
I love it.
Anyways, do we say thank you?
Thank you.
We thank you for joining us today. We hope you have enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.